You ain't heard us in a minute. You heard us in a minute, man. Wu-Tang.
We are back again for the Raw Podcast featuring Michelle, myself, UGOD, and the fat philanthropist, Domingo Neres. What's going on, Pepper Stein, brother?
Yeah, we here.
Yeah,
he got, episode three.
Yeah, he had to report, you know, from down in VA. You know, he got some family situations, but he going to be out here because he's a thorough motherfucker, and that's what he do. You know what I'm saying?
Beat me up, Scotty.
That's right. So right now, you know, we're getting ready to get into some real shit again, baby. We're going to talk the talk. We're going to talk all the flyness. We're going to give it to you. I'm going to give you my street opinion, and I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to get your brain cells popping, and we're going to get it popping. Michelle, take it away, baby. Give me some love.
All right, so let's get into what's trending. So Domingo brought this to my attention about what's going on with Lil Uzi Vert and Shy Glizzy.
Oh, man. Okay. So, you know, if the listeners don't know, I also manage Mr. You God. So when we're putting together music projects, this type of shit happens. But, you know, I've never, you know, we've never made it shit public or whatever. But Lil Uzi Vert, one of the hottest motherfuckers in the game, his man, Shy Glizzy.
Okay, DC Shy rapper.
Woot, woot.
I got to stand up for my DMV people.
Exactly. So Shy Glizzy gets Uzi in the studio. You know, artist to artist, he calls him, says, yo, I need you to drop a little Hot 16 on my shit. So he dropped the Hot 16. And then a couple days go by, and Shy Glizzy's manager and label call him and say, yo, we just got an invoice for 200 grand for a verse Lil Uzi did for you. What's up with that? So then Shy Glizzy's like, yo, what the fuck? So then he picks up the phone, calls Lil Uzi. He's like, yo, Uzi, what's up, man? I thought we were boys. Uzi don't return no calls. Ducking and diving. And according to Shy Glizzy, and he gets on the gram, pissed off, and he blows up the spot. He says basically like, what's up with Roc Nation sending him an invoice for 200 grand?
Hold up, for one verse?
For one verse.
Ooh.
And, you know, he is the one of the hottest artists on the planet, and he gets, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 million streams. So I don't know, man, but, you know, it's from a management standpoint, you know how it is. Artists get together all the time, you know, smoke some weed, get creative, and then we got to come behind that, clean that shit up. You know what I'm saying? We got to get the paperwork done.
Yeah.
And, you know, feelings got hurt. And it's an unfortunate situation. But, you know, bills got to get paid.
Well, you know, I feel, you know, I'm a musician. I've been in the game for a long time. And I know that these young bloods, these young little, you know, these guys who you see popping doing the streams, you don't know what they sign contractually. You know what I mean? And regardless, exactly. I can be his man. I can be my right hand man. I could have known him for 20 years, and he don't know that I signed a contract that binding me with 10 other mother hubbers who own me now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they own a piece of you. They gotta get their boogie tax.
Exactly.
So,
but
Roc Nation gotta get their boogie tax.
Oh yeah.
DJ Drama gotta get his boogie tax. The distributors got to get their boogie tax. Everybody's got to get their boogie tax. So even though you're cool with Shy Glizzy, them other dudes don't know Shy Glizzy from the next motherfucker.
Exactly,
so they want to get their paper.
Yeah, but that's a fucked up situation, because now that can hurt them, because, you know, little man still got to keep relevant in the streets. And sometimes, man, you know, it ain't about, you know, putting 200 G's for a verse? Nigga, I ain't paying no 200 motherfucking grand for no damn verse. I do my own goddamn shit.
Well, okay. You know, just speaking on it, you know, what Yui does a lot of times is he'll step to somebody who he likes and say, yo, give me a verse, I'll give you a verse. And then, you know, they send each other a beat, and they drop some shit on each other, some fire. They give everybody, you know, everybody gives everybody a little fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do what you want to do with it. But we're on an independent label, and we talk to our label, and I make sure there's communication all the way through the process, and it just seems like communication just got broke down here.
Yeah, but that's still, like I said, coming to play, is that we don't know his contracts. And I want little man that's pissed, I don't want to, you know, get out of hand, let him understand, like, he don't know his situation. Just because you see him doing 100 million streams don't mean he getting all that for himself. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's a part of the game. You know, you look at these people that's the most popular, successful rappers, But you don't know. You look on the back of the CD, you see about 30 names on the back of there, man. You don't know. They got to cut that pie like about 20 different ways, man. And you find out, like, you find out later on, like, oh, shit, like, it's really like that? Yeah, that's the reason why he's successful, because he got all these people behind him. And it's a team of people that's keeping him popping, that got him popping. But when it's time to get busy, and right now we're in a COVID virus situation where everything is shut down, shows and tours and all that, you know, dudes got to get their bread, man. They want to get their
bread. Yeah, they got to get that bread for them features. There's not much you could do out here.
That's right.
The live show money is dried up.
Yeah, B.
Well, speaking of people being successful, I want to know, who is Ray Hush Puppy?
Oh,
who is Ray Hush Puppy?
Domingo,
break it down.
Yo.
Okay, Ray.
I heard about
Ray
this dude.
Hush
this dude's
Puppy.
A fucking meathead, man.
This brother right here, man. Oh, my God. Gosh. He got 2.5 million Instagram followers. And this guy has, you know, posed on Instagram as a big real estate tycoon. And come to find out, the FBI was on his ass. Because on his gram, if you go to his gram, you're going to see him really showboat. Like, he's getting in and out of private planes. He's got his Gucci loafers on. He's got a whole tracksuit from, you know, from Gucci. And he's
all right, nigga, get on with it, goddammit.
Hey, listen. So they caught his ass and they nailed his ass. They got $41 million in his bank accounts and over $6.8 million worth of luxury cars.
Hold on. Like, so, explain to me, how did he accumulate this type of money, though? What the fuck was he doing?
He did cybercrime schemes, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, what is cybercrime? What do you mean cybercrime scheme? He was like, taking people's credit cards?
He was hacking into corporations and stealing their money.
And he caught 41 M's from doing that.
41 M's.
Stupid ass thing. Yo, man, if I caught 41 fucking million,
I'd be in another country.
On the gram. I got one. I'm have one shirt, one pair of pants. I'm gonna be on a low key. I'm gonna be in a bunker. I'm be probably be on an island somewhere, fucking three bitches that look like Lizzo. That's how low key I'm gonna be. 41 million? Come on, bro. You're supposed to take that money and ran with that, bro, and just disappeared. What's wrong with these people, man?
Some people like to live that flashy life.
This gram be fucking people up.
No, that's called validation. These motherfuckers want to run around and get validated about, you know, women be doing this to men. They want to be women. I want women to like me. I want people to, you know, get on my nuts. I want to be the man. Like, yo, not when you jamming like that, bro. If the mob was doing that, old man be walking around with one little, you know, you wouldn't even know the old man in the corner had that type of bread, bro. You got to, you know, people got to understand how to move, man. Dudes don't know how to move no more, man. Like, come on.
Real gangsters move in silence, and he didn't do it, and now he locked the fuck up.
But speaking of people with financial issues like Ray Hush Puppy, so the Supreme Court last week made the decision to finally ask Donald Trump to hand over his tax returns and financial documentation.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Why are they so concerned about his bread? Tell me, why?
Nah, it's not about his bread. What they're concerned about is they want to see why he's kissing Putin's ass, Saudi Arabia's ass, and the Turkey's ass. Why is he kissing their asses so much? And at the same time, is it tied into all these buildings that keep popping up with Kushner? And, you know, he's basically taking advantage of his situation, and he's using taxpayer dollars, and he's cheating the government out of taxes. So it's like a crazy heist he's pulling right now.
Well, bro,
so,
we know how many companies we know get away with millions and millions of dollars paying taxes, number one. Number two, like I said, bro, they making moves, shaking and jiving, and everybody want to forensic the nigga pockets. Everybody want to, you know, they did it with Obama, too. They did it with everybody in that seat. They always trying to find out what the dudes is doing. And, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of those presidents are sitting there. They see an opportunity to make money and sitting in that chair. They're going to make that bread, bro. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you got to think about it. He ain't no rapper. He ain't making no buildings. He ain't got nothing else going on except being Trump, man. Come on, man. He gonna get some bread somewhere, bro. He got to make some type of money for his family besides doing, you know, what he doing up in that chair right there. So,
He making a lot of bread. Trust me. I ain't feeling sorry for his monkey ass. He got to get his shit together.
He been making money, man. I'm not, like I said, I'm not shit. On his side enough.
Took him 6 months to put a mask on.
Look,
true.
You still on that mask? Well, he wasn't believing it. He wasn't believing it.
I didn't see him take any Clorox, even though he was telling everybody else to take it.
Hold up, gargle with Clorox?
Yeah, he was like, "Yo, gargle some Clorox, you'll be fine."
Hold up, that's what he said for real?
He said that shit like a couple months ago.
He didn't say gargle some Clorox.
He said, we just got to figure it out because, you know, Clorox, if we could use it to wipe off the germs off of my couch, then we should be able to use it to wipe off the germs in my lungs and in my, you know, in my body. So let's just, you know, gargle a little Clorox.
Hold on, hold on. He did not say
that. Get the hell out of here.
He did not say that.
This is like April.
He didn't say that, Domingo. Stop exaggerating. You exaggerating?
Yes, he did.
I don't think he said something. He said some dumb shit like that?
He said some dumb shit like that. That's why, you know, clock is ticking. November is coming. Winter is coming.
Yeah, I told you, we probably ain't gonna be back. We ain't gonna be back to normal until about March next year, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's a long
time. We said that shit a long time ago.
I need a hug right now. I ain't had a hug so damn long.
Okay. But last in what's trending, speaking of Donald Trump. So Goya is now canceled.
What? Goya what? Beans?
Like Goya beans, rap. Goya seasoning, the Goya, the company.
They took my Sazon?
Well,
yes. Fucked up my whole dinner. Fucked up my whole dinner. I can't season my fish now. My steak tacos is fucked up.
You just gotta make your organic seasonings now.
What? Hold up. The Sazon package too?
Yes, Sazon is done. So the reason why Goya is canceled is because the CEO of Goya came out last week and said, we're all truly blessed to have a leader like Donald Trump. So, you know, Black Twitter, social media was all over it. Like, you are canceled. You are done. You are a supporter of Donald Trump and we're not having it.
It got to be something more with Goya.
First of all, Goya is the staple of the Spanish community.
Yeah.
Okay? It is a staple. So how are you going to have the CEO get behind a microphone and back the motherfucker that's putting a fence up and blocking and taking people's kids, okay, and putting them in jail? How could you back that when you're supposed to be the staple of the Spanish community? It's crazy. So it's like, fuck Goya. Look, there's La Preferida, there's La Criolla. Ocasio is online teaching you how to make adobo yourself. Check that video out. But we gotta put a little cancel.
Man, it messed up my whole shit now with the packets, man. Cause I was making a mean beef patty with that. I make a mean beef patty with that, man.
That sounds good.
Cause what I do, I take the flour and I roll it out real nice and thin, and I put the orange powder on it. Boom, and I make
that makes the
shell turn whatever. And you put the meat in between the middle, and you put a little peanut oil and fry. Put the little cheese and peanut in the middle. You know how to do it, fat boy. You know what
I do. You know I got that. You know what I'm saying? Little garlic.
Me and him be battling.
Chopped up onions. Yeah. Ooh, don't get me started.
Yo, let me tell you something. His turkey meatball game. Oh my fucking God. This fucking guy.
Crazy.
I'm gonna bite his fucking face off right now. This fucking guy can cook his ass off, boy.
Is it story time?
Story time.
Ooh. All right. You're getting juicy right now.
Going into story time, I just want to put this out there. There's a lot of violence in hip hop right now. It's got to stop. We're going to talk about it. We're going to try to, you know, give some brothers some good advice.
Yeah,
B. It came out this week. Pop Smoke update. P&B Rock out of Philly got on his gram. And, you know, he was close to Pop. And him and P&B were talking at the time. This is before, you know, the shit happened. And I guess Pop let P&B know that he had gotten into an altercation and shot some cats out in LA or whatever.
Cats? Hold up. Cats meaning more than one person or a person?
Well, it's reportedly that he shot one of them.
Okay.
One of the guys got shot, and those guys wanted revenge, and those are the guys that killed Pop. And subsequently, the LA police made 5 arrests this week, and they got their guys. And now they, you know, 3 of them are 17.
Youngins.
And it's a sad story.
So hold on. All right. So you trying to tell me that the dudes that shot Pop Smoke right now got incarcerated? They got 3 of the dudes.
They have four.
They got four of them. So anybody snitch on each other?
Not yet, but they are being criminally charged, four of them. And they are speaking that the death penalty may be on the table for them.
Ooh, because that's California. They don't play that shit out there. This is crazy, man. Like, what the fuck, man? What's going on with these little niggas out here, man?
It's ugly because...
Hold on, I want to ask you a question. So was it over a girl or was it over beef? What was it over, jealousy?
We don't know what the beef is.
Yeah, nah, see, when you out there busting your gun and you out there doing your gangster 1-2-stepper, because, you know, a lot of these dudes are just picking up ratchets, picking up guns, and solving their matters with anger. But, dude, you got to move a certain way. I mean, it's like you can't just be running around there. If you on some gangster shit, you can't be on the gram letting brothers know where you at. You can't be on the corner smoking weed with your boys, you know, if you out there going to war, bro. You know what I'm saying? You got to be vest up. You got to be on point. You can't be at your girl house. Your schedule's got to be sporadic. And you got to really go in, man. That's a different, totally different game when it comes to gun shit. You know what I'm saying? It's a gun game. You know what I'm saying? And
can you be in the public's eye?
Now, Cypher, it's very...
Basically... You either a rapper or you a gangster, but you can't be both.
Nah, you can't be both. Because this music shit, see, a lot of these little young brothers, they acting up, picking up speed, I always say, right? They don't understand that this music is for you to get away from that. It's not for you to be indulging in criminal activity. You don't get into this game and get into criminal activity. You get in the game. This music shit is for you to save your life and preserve for your family and do all that fly shit. You get in this game and you pop off, you're going to expect repercussions. You got to be on stage. You got to be on the gram. You too exposed to be out there and doing gangster shit. Now, don't get me wrong. If you in a situation where you got to, you know, hold yourself down and you got to, you know, protect yourself, and you a rapper, you famous rapper, I'm all for, you know, holding yourself down. But then there's a way you got to move. You know what I mean? You can't just be out there like that, you know? You can't be slipping. And I felt like, you know, no disrespect to Pop Smoke family, that, you know, he wasn't supposed to expose himself like that, you know? And that cost him his life. And that was a sad moment. And I hope these little young brothers understand that when you out there popping and you giving niggas that smoke, that, yo, it's a lot of shit to come behind that, you know what I mean? And, you know, when you're dealing with gun violence and all this stuff, it's a deep situation. And, you know, I'm going to talk about this gun violence. Just go on a little bit. I'm going to elaborate a little bit because we got some time to talk about guns. And I'm a firm believer in carrying weapons and all that fly shit and protecting yourself. But I want these little brothers to understand something, right? When you pick up guns are not for you to pick up when you're angry, fellas. When you're angry, what I mean is if somebody did something to you, or you got a physical altercation, or you feel like somebody fucked your girl and all that fly shit, a lot of motherfuckers is picking up guns out of anger. Guns are not for that. They are for a defense mechanism. They are for people to protect you from your family, to protect you from certain situations. Somebody coming at you on your property, on your crib, then you got the right to blow a nigga head off his shoulders. But if you get into a fist-to-cuff altercation, and you feel like the nigga got the best of you, and you feel embarrassed, and niggas is amping you up, and like you soft, dog, they pumping you up to put you in a situation where you gonna squeeze that trigger out of anger. And that's what's happening in my community, far as the black community, far as black on black crime. A lot of these young bloods is picking up the hammer angry, and you gotta stop that shit. You gotta sit back and take a deep breath and say, yo, am I willing to risk the rest of my life, or am I willing to be an enemy of this nigga family? Because as soon as you kill this nigga, you got to worry about the nigga cousins, his nigga fucking uncles coming out the fucking, out the crypt, ready to blow your head off these fucking shoulders, depending on what type of family you're dealing with. Because sometimes, man, you know, sometimes people are blood for blood, man. You take one of mine, I'm taking two of yours. You know what I'm saying? Depending on how ruthless you dealing with some certain people, because some people are that ruthless. Understand something. When you pick that hammer up, like when you aggravate it, you just take a deep breath like, yo, is this shit worth me taking this nigga out? Because there's going to be problems that come behind this. And am I doing this because my ego's hurt? Am I doing this because I'm angry? Because if you angry, don't pick that hammer up, bro. You're not thinking clear. You're not having an understanding. And then we don't got triple OGs no more to sit down and talk to little niggas no more, man. Because, you know.
That's what I was about to say. You know, another aspect of this whole thing is when you start getting into elevating your game, and you go from that mixtape guy to that, you know, that streaming king to that, you know, you got a deal. Spend some of that money on the right team.
It's not, dog. It's not even about the. Don't even get considered. I'm not even talking about music. Fuck music. I'm talking about just the ordinary black brother in the street right now and just being caught up in the violent situation. Because, like I said before, we handle our shit angry. We already angry because we black. We already angry because we poor. We already angry. We got piles and piles of anger on top of us. So we making decisions off anger and not a understanding. And then, like I said before, you know, we don't have no triple OGs. I'm like, yo, where is the OGs at? Why are they not stepping in and saying, yo, young blood, yo, chill. Hold up. Let's have a sit down. Because ain't nothing wrong with having a sit down, little man. There's nothing wrong with saying, yo, you want to squash this beef? Can we squash this? That don't make you no pussy. That make you a smart and intelligent gangster, nigga. Because before you watch mafia flicks, them niggas sit down when they got beef. And they ain't iron out their shit. And if they can't iron it out, then they get it on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they sit down. They give it a chance, though. They give it a chance to iron some shit out and to fold out them creases and be like, you know what? And they pound it out. And sometimes it just be little dumb shit. It be like, yo, the nigga, he's just like you. Sometimes dudes get in the beef, they just alike. You know how many motherfuckers I know, they don't like each other because they're just alike. But when y'all sit down and have to have a powwow with a triple OG, and you sit y'all down, y'all have a talk, you be like, y'all gonna find out like, oh shit, y'all kinda like y'all. Yeah. Y'all, you just like me, little homie. Mm-hmm. Y'all thorough, y'all, you know, you don't, you ain't a snitch, you share the same street morals as I do. Like, oh shit. But you're not giving enough time to figure out if that's the way to go about doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have the power to do that. You know what I'm saying? And I know there's a lot of dudes out there who's listening to my voice right now. Hopefully they get energized and understand that you can take over that situation. And it don't make you, you know, better than anybody else to sit down or to make that happen, to sit down and tell you, young blood, y'all niggas got to chill. Because, like for instance, in Atlanta, niggas going at each other. Somebody got to come in. Somebody need to come in right now, these little young, and say, yo, hold up. We got to call a motherfucking powwow and sit y'all little niggas down, save y'all lives, because y'all niggas is killing off future business entrepreneurs, future scientists. You don't know what these little motherfuckers is capable of doing, but y'all killing them, and we will never know the potential we just lost.
I was trying to say this earlier, but I'm gonna say it now.
Talk to me.
If you're out here and you get your momentum up and you build your team around you. You got to have a good team. You got to have a good lawyer. You got to have a good account. You got to have a good manager. You got to have security.
Hold up.
You got to have.
You forget one element. You got to have a good therapist, dude, in your ear telling you what's right and what's wrong, how to handle situations.
And a mentor.
That's right.
You got to have a mentor.
That's right. That's what my fat man right there, he's a good mentor. He decompresses me a lot. Like, when I first started fucking with him, I still had that street shit in me. I was nervous. I was jittery. I was ready to pick up the ratchet. Every time I got mad, oh, fuck this nigga, I'm going to get my shit. And then he'll be like, G, I got, if you going to fuck with me, you gotta learn how to Gandhi that shit. I said, "What the fuck you mean? Just woo-side, dog. It's not that serious. You gonna blow all that fine pussy and all that money for some dumb shit?" And I sat back like, "Oh shit, you fucking right, little nigga."
Yeah. When you elevate yourself, you elevate your game and you elevate the people that you fuck with. You know what I'm saying? And You gotta have the right team around you, man. So I hope you're listening down there in ATL. Please.
I want the world to know who I'm talking to right now. We're talking to a triple OG, quadruple, triple, loople, loople OG out here. This is one of my brothers, man. Came from the grain, came from the streets. He's a original street motherfucker hustler from the hill. You know what I'm saying? Who are we talking to right now?
IMS the Rebel, baby.
That's right.
The Rebel IMS.
Yeah, he's the one. He's one of the brothers. I want y'all brothers to understand something. He is one of the main people that made street raps popular. You know what I'm saying? He is like, you know, when it comes to street rhyming, he is definitely up there in the Hall of Fame when it comes to making street rhymes popular. Him and Raekwon the Chef and brothers in my group, Wu-Tang Clan, are the brothers who paved the way for a lot of y'all little shorties out here running around here acting like your back is all big. But it wouldn't be shit without brothers like him paving the way and standing on the shoulders of greatness right now. We're talking to one of the main members, the original digital brother who came with the real street raps and made that shit rap, man. This is Rebel INS, man. This is my brother, man. Love him to death, man. Tell him what's going on, baby. What's going on, baby?
That's just up, man. You know, like I said, holding my head, man. Thanks for the accolades, you know?
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of the sport. When I rap, I try to leave a lot of my, you know, those traumatizing street experiences that we had growing up as kids, man. I try to leave a lot of that out, you know, because you can, like, subconsciously direct that energy, you know what I'm saying? So I always try to keep it hip-hop, you know, bombing atomically and all that, Spider-Man and all types of wildness.
Thugs Kill for Drugs, put the Young Bucks bus, you know what I'm saying? Ooh, that's, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, keeping in fans of the sport, man. So, you know, I felt like it was already enough gangsters out there, you know. There's enough tough guys, man. So I said, you know what, I'm going to just come with the verbal gymnastics on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Dak, I know you're a big sports guy, you know, and everybody's tuning in to what's going on in the sports world right now. They're about to start off the NBA season again, and baseball cats is talking about traveling city to city like COVID don't exist. And football, it looks like they're just waiting to see what happens with baseball and the NBA, and then they're going to make their move because they're not really talking about what they're going to do. What's your take on this whole situation? You think these cats should get back on the field?
You just called it, brother. It's like... They're going to wait to see what happened with the other dudes. And you know what's going to happen with the other dudes? There's going to be more people getting sick, bro. Whether it's the players themselves or the people that's trying to attend these events or whatever the case, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that is a mirror of what happened when they opened up the states. When they opened up the states one by one, you know, Florida was one of the first people, Texas, you know. Now, if you look at the stats of all the new cases, bro, they leading the way. They leading the pack with all the new cases of COVID. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, yeah, COVID is a virus, man. If we all took tests, bro, we're going to find it in some form or fashion. We all either have it or have it now. It's not a detrimental killer disease, bro. If you got a healthy immune system, you keep yourself together, you don't have a bunch of underlying issues, you'll be straight with the, you know, the proper care of yourself. And that's what it really is, man. It's just more of a fear tactic in my eyes, man. Create some panic so you can bring some type of reform, man. That's the old chaos and reform type of...
Well, Westbrook just tested positive. And I think they got, like, two Yankees got it and three Mets. It's rough because you gotta, you know, it's a job for them.
Yeah.
That's how they make their living. So they gotta roll with the punches, I guess.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, man. Like the COVID virus itself, bro, is definitely responsible for a lot of deaths. For people to be like, fuck COVID and fuck this, and, you know, that's kind of silly, bro. Because, you know, anybody can catch it. But it's how it's dealt with, I believe, that is what's killing people. You know, like once you hit the respirator, it's pretty much a wrap for you. You know, there's people that had COVID, self-quarantined themselves, you know, took vitamin C's, ate different, did what they had to do to get themselves back together without having to hit the respirator. I mean, I believe once you hit that respirator, the ventilator or whatever it is,
I think
once you hit that, man, that's when you look at the majority of COVID-19 deaths, bro, it's after you were on the general respirator, whatever it is, ventilator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know, you know, Live Nation's talking about starting the shows back up in August. I know that was something that, you know, between us guys, we were all talking about it. And it's like, you know, with a group this size, you got 10 people on stage, rhyming and DJing, and then you got, you know, tour manager, sound guy. So you got about 14 people on that bus, and, you know, you're going state to state. and you got to check in the hotel. And some people know somebody in that city, and they got to go out. And, you know, you got Ghost, who's diabetic. We had him on the show last week, and he was talking about his situation, how he needs to make sure that he takes care of himself. So it's rough. It's rough making that decision whether to go back on the road or not, right?
Right now, like, you know, as far as, like, rappers and businessmen in general, you have to have either generated or begin to generate another form of passive income while this goes on. Because the more they open up, is the more cases they're going to have. And the more cases they have, is the more fear and panic they're going to cause in the people. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to keep everything from being where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so they're talking about basically, you know, putting us in stadiums and, you know, 12,000 capacity. And then they would bring the capacity down to about 5,000 or 6,000 people, half of what the room could hold. And, you know, I don't know how that makes the place safe, because you know how it goes. When the lights go up and the group hits the stage, everybody runs towards the stage. So you're basically shoulder to shoulder with everybody anyway. So it's like, you know, it's going to be tough to see what are they going to do. Are they going to put seats in the place? Are they going to make every third seat, two seats, you know, empty, one seat full? Like, it's gonna be strange.
They're gonna social distance you in the club and have you 6 feet.
You know, they're gonna be hitting you with that temperature gun too when you're coming through the door. That's the other thing they got to do. They're gonna have dudes posted up.
It ain't necessary for all that, because you get 6,000 people together. The artists may be safe. They're gonna keep the artists safe of all, you know, closing down dressing rooms and all that shit. They'll make sure we good, but as far as, like you said, 6,000 people in the crowd, once the music's on and everybody's sweating and rubbing shoulders, that's a whole new set of cases right there, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got 6,000 people that'll come out, too, because everybody's dying to get out the house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be off the hook. It's going to be like a massive, like, you know, they ain't going to care. Dude's going to be hanging from the rafters trying to get out the house. This motherfucker, man. You know,
I'll be saying, you know, in my twisted mind, I'm like, what if they give it the green light, everything good, and motherfuckers take the vaccine, right? And still catching this shit.
Oh, that's some other shit right there. Well, you know, the way they're rolling out, you know, funding these vaccines that are at stage two, you know, it's like a 5-stage process to get a drug passed through the FDA. So, you know, first you got, you know, you test it in the lab, then you test it on the rats, the mice, then you test it on the monkeys, and then you test it on humans, and, you test 12 or 15, 20 people, and if that passes, then you go up to 200 people, then you go up to 1,000 people, and that's stage 5. Now, you got drugs that are passing, like, stage 2, which is just barely passing the mice stage and going into the monkey stage. And they're saying, fuck it, let's order 150,000 doses.
Hold up. D, you telling me right now they're at the monkey stage of testing right now?
They're at the monkey stage of testing with a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
And Trump's already bought 150 doses of this and 150 doses of that, because once they get to stage 5, then it's a free-for-all, because, you know, they make that shit public because they want the stock of the medicine company to go up.
Yeah, they're going to sell a drug. So, they're going to sell a drug at the monkey stage, bro. You got a man that's telling people to drink disinfectant,
dog. This is what I'm talking about.
Yo, Rebel, hold on. Yo, Rebel, let me ask you a question.
We tried to tell you earlier. You heard
this nigga, hold on.
Monkey stage, nothing.
Hold on, you mean to tell me that this nigga Trump for real said nigga need to drink Clorox?
I don't know, bro. Like, to me, he's always been the apprentice on the TV show. Me, as a growing up as a New Yorker, we know the Trump before Trump.
Exactly.
We know the Trump that, you know, Manhattan nightclub Trump.
Exactly.
You know, Shabba. Back when he jumped onto Cal's album for the skit. You know what I'm saying? I know that Trump. You know, the one that was really grabbing him by the pussy.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, the one who was sitting in the back with Shabba Ranks. We know him.
Yeah. So it's like Schwarzenegger as the governor type shit. It's like, you know, I never took it serious, but I realized seriousness of it, him being there, bro. Like, he says the wildest shit ever. He don't go by the script. He ain't right. Nobody's writing his scripts. He just say what he feels, and he, you know, makes up for it later on or something. But, you know, yeah, he was that serious when he said that Clorox shit and that disinfectant and all that. And the people love him so much because he represents that middle America feel, you know?
He fucked up the Godfather pizza, man. Oh. Had the brother out there in Tulsa catching a cove in the stands with no mask on. Come on, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, but you know, you know what's scary right now? There's no competition for him. If Joe Biden was to win, what do we really gain? You know, and the shit he stands for and don't stand for.
Well, you know what? Angela Davis said it like this. She said, I vote for Biden because Biden is a guy with a conscience, and that's a guy you could pressure into making the right decision. Whereas Trump, he just doesn't give a fuck. If it's not affecting his money, he don't care. So he's a runaway train. So I get what Angela Davis
said. But you know, Trump, Biden don't represent America. The America. Red, white, and blue, flag waving. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on right now, bro. Black people in the world are trying to rise up against oppression. Black Lives Matter don't really just mean black lives. It means brown lives, yellow. It's Asian, it's French. There's all types of motherfuckers on the front line of protest because they've been oppressed by white people as well. And Black Lives is just the banner. That's why I support the thought, but not the movement. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole organization and all that. I'm not into all that. But the movement of Black Lives Matter, the statement is what really matters, bro. And I'm just saying, like, Trump represents all the leftover Confederates and all of that shit that's going on behind the doors. The motherfuckers is building their bunkers and busting their guns off in the woods and all that. Like, we black people are at war with those people.
We've been at war with them since the Civil War because, you know, it took black people joining the North to defeat the Confederates, and then once we defeated them, we gave them the ability to go back home with your horses and with your guns, and then we also spent a whole bunch of money rebuilding the South because we burnt it down when we went to war with them because we went down, you know, Ulysses Grant went down there with the army and tore that shit up with the brothers.
But the thing that I'm saying, even to add on to what you're saying right now, to think about all that shit, even the Civil War and all that, right? All that shit was started over cotton, bro.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money in that
cotton
joint.
Cotton was the cocaine.
Yeah, a lot of money in that.
How do you think they was buying them plantations, man? And affording to have all them slaves amongst other slave owners. Your cotton game had to be banging. So freeing the slaves mean, yo, nobody's picking this cotton, bro.
There's no free labor.
The crazy shit about it is, man.
Yeah, you got to pay for labor, but you ain't got to pay the slaves.
Hold up, but you know the crazy shit about it is? We gave them niggas 400 years of free labor. Not 1 year, bro. We ain't talking about just 1 year. 400 years. That's a long fucking time, baby.
After that,
that's a lot of money.
When the Civil War was fought, not because Abe Lincoln was freeing the slaves and, you know, the abolitionists was fighting the Confederates and shit. It was mainly the Confederate states did not want to give up the slaves, huh?
Yeah.
That says a lot about, you know, that type of person, bro. When you go to war to keep your right to enslave this man, rape his family, kill any of his kind on site for your enjoyment and all that shit. Like, and because you needed him to pick that cotton. Them days, bro, like you said, 400 years of being enslaved, it'll take 400 more years to actually catch up to white man and for it to level out and even out.
Yeah, we only been out for 100. We only just been out for 100. Barely making 100 right now.
Yeah, They kept us so far behind.
Well, when you took that away from them, or tried to take that away from them, because they kept trying to get it back, you know, for many, many years after. I mean, it only took 2 weeks after the Civil War for them to come and shoot Lincoln, you know, in the back of the head. Like, so they were never satisfied. They were pissed off.
Nah. Even when they signed they still not satisfied. They're still waving that Confederate flag around, man.
Yeah, the Mississippi was the last state to take it off their state flag, and that just happened a couple of months ago. So
they got videos of cops and all types of people reenacting the knee on George's neck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Taking pictures on Facebook on the knee on their friend's neck, shit like that's a shame. Bro, it's blatant how they feel about us. We were slaves brought here, treated as lesser people, enslaved 100 years, killed you if you tried to read a book, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Any type of way you try to advance yourself, you dying. You're taking your kids, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and even through all that, Jesse Owens with a tore up pair of shoes got out there and won the gold medal. We get, you know, LeBron doing his thing. Jordan's doing his thing. We got brothers like you guys out here doing their thing, coming from the dirt all the way up.
Listen. They got to keep their foot on our neck, because they let us go, we going to fly.
The bigger picture to all of this shit right now for the world and black people in general is like this. This is a chance to write what our history going forward is going to be.
There it is. Well, Rebel, it was great talking to you.
Right now, we got Rebel Lioness on the line, and he's coming in and telling it and dropping the knowledge and dropping the jewels on these little youngins out here, let them waking up their minds and let them understand what's going on here in the world, man. My man, Inspector Dak.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
it's raw. You already know.
All right, so we're going to get into this week's hot track for the week.
The hot track of the week, boy.
Yo,
the Adventures of Moon Man and Slim Shady, boy.
Slim Shady.
Jesus Christ. You know M is a monster of a lyricist, this motherfucker right here.
Came through with the man on the moon, Kid Cudi.
Let me tell you something. You could tell a lot by the person's character by the way they rhyme. I'm telling you, I shit you not. You could tell a person is highly, 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 you know, developed mentally,
intelligent
and mentally developed by the way he rhymes, man. And I got to always say that, you know, M and Kid Cudi really put their foot in this track. To me, I don't know. I think they put their foot in the track. It's just my opinion. And, you know, I'm a lyricist. I love lyrics. And he sparked my brain cells and made my pen move. Because sometimes I be home, I don't hear shit to make me get motivated. And like I said last, you know, before it was Meek, now it's just, you know, Slim Shady came again. Blood boiling, baby.
and I kind of liked it that they just put out one track and not a whole project, so people could really get into it, because I had to keep reminding that motherfucker. I was like, damn, he said that too?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, you got
that. That's when you know the rhyme is good.
Yeah, you got to
hear it over and over and pick up little jewels.
Exactly.
Well, let's hear a little bit of it.
This is music to be murdered by your love. Turn the volume up, I am fired up. Like a blunt, thread is long, like an Italian's up. I am drugs, that is probably why your opinion of me's high as fuck. And it's non-stop fury, cause I ain't holding them up like an armed robbery. God's my jury, so when I die, I'm not worried. Not Chris to George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery. How the fuck is it that so many cops are dirty? Stop, man, please, officer, I'm sorry. But I can't breathe when I got you on top of me. Your goddamn knees in my carotid artery.
The Adventures of Moon Man, the
Slim. That's my line right there.
Carotid artery, boy. Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
See, I like M rhyming just like that. I don't want him on him. I don't want the mosquito. I can't do the mosquito. I can't. You start going up there pimping, you lose me. But when you
rhyme like that
and you give me them vocals, you give me every little word I can hear, I can feel, then you got me right where you want me, boy. You keep that shit right there, pimpin'.
And plus it coincides with what's going on too right now in the world. If you like listen to the song Listeners Fully, you know, Eminem starts talking about what's going on in the world. So it's a perfect timing for the song to drop. So Eminem is in my top three. I love anything that Eminem puts out. So it's a hit to me. So I'm sure it'll be a hit to you guys.
Yeah, definitely a smoker. Smoker, smoker, baby. Smoke him if you got him.
Okay.
So, fellas, you know, like I said, man, this is You Guard Raw, man. We in this place, man. We doing our thing, man. We up here telling, we dropping the knowledge. And I just hope y'all brothers is getting this out here, man. This ain't no valedictorian shit. This is about letting you understand what's going on. I got to give you some jewelry. I'm going to give you some tooleries. I'm going to give you some old time foolery. I ain't going to give you no bullshit, baby. I'm going to give it. I'm going to give you that fly shit, man. You know,
that's right. Knowledge.
Yeah, baby. Yo, this is You Guard Raw. This is produced by Michelle Monique Domingo, the philanthropist, and the team at Signal Company Number One. Executive produced by me, Lamont You Guard Hawkins, Jeff Clyburn, and Kevin Waters. Music in the podcast is written and performed by me and the one and only UGOD, courtesy of Baby Grand Records. Follow me on Instagram at UGOD_Zilla, on Twitter at UGOD of Wu-Tang, and on Facebook at UGOD Wu-Tang. Follow Michelle on Instagram, at Twitter, at Michelle Monique. That's MeashelMonique. And follow Domingo on Twitter at WuTor, and on Instagram at Mingo the Philanthropist.